This is Goals with Soul, the podcast for visionary coaches and entrepreneurs, building your business with inspired action. In alignment with your mission and authentic message, so you can create impact for your soul clients and feel lit up every day. I'm your host, Jo Ingram, married mum of three daughters from London and a former ad agency director turned business coach and strategist. In Goals with Soul, we blend revenue generation with energetics, marketing strategies with pranic healing, and ambitious business goals with our soul's desires. If you're looking to build your business with less efforting and more ease, this is the podcast for you. Let's dive in. Welcome to Goals with Soul. I'm Joanna Ingram, and today's episode, I'm so excited to be sharing with you a conversation all about living in the messy reality and still pursuing a life and business filled with spiritual wisdom. I know for me, blending the strategy and the energy has been fundamental to not just the success of my business, but actually my enjoyment of not just my business, but so much more in my life, having the freedom, having the joy and the fun and the conversations and the synchronicities. And that's why I'm so excited that I get to bring to you here on Goals with Soul lots of strategic advice about messaging and marketing and blend that with the energetics and conversations with experts that I've been personally mentored by and inspired by, so we can get closer to feeling that spiritual ease as we create our business. So we're not overworking and over-efforting and all the things that quite clearly high-achieving and driven women too frequently do. And I know for me, as I started practicing pranic healing and training as a practitioner, as well as becoming a breathwork facilitator, my mind was opened to all these different ways that we can help ourselves to elevate our businesses by elevating our own energetics. And that is why I include Breathwork for Business as part of my group program. The members of my Aligned Marketing and Messaging group join me every single month to create massive breakthroughs by using breathwork as the portal to deeply integrate and embody the business shifts they're making so they get those breakthroughs. And in today's conversation, we're going to dive into how to get our minds open and allow ourselves to tune into that soft voice of intuition. Sarah Beth Hunt is the creator of The Messy Luminous Being, which is a meditation and yoga platform with a podcast, online journal, and memberships to help women weave inner practices into messy real life. Sarah's trained in the Kagyu lineage of Tibetan Buddhist meditation, traditional yoga, and the school of messy real life with her partner and two beautifully wild boys. We had so much to talk about, and I enjoyed this conversation so much. I can't wait to share it with you. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Goals with Soul, Sarah.
Thanks for having me, Joe. It's great to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited because we met, first of all, when I guested on your podcast, and it was such an insanely great talk about the application of all these spiritual modalities in real life. And I couldn't wait to get you back over here on my show because something that I know has been a massive struggle for me and is something that so many people I work with and speak to struggle with too, is actually finding a way to bring spirituality into their lives in practice. And you have so many amazing thoughts on this. But before we dive in though, I would love to know kind of a little bit about your personal journey and what brought you to a place where this is the expertise that you're able to share.
Totally. Oh, I loved our conversation too. So anyone that wants to go hear about you, that's a great place to go. Because with our podcast, isn't it? We always share with other people, but not with our own story. So I loved our conversation, Joe. My journey, especially with my own business, has been, and my career has been complicated and interwoven with my work in motherhood. And my own desire to, it's a little bit like the most important thing for me is to know the deeper self. That to me has been the thing that has really sat at the heart of my work. And it really led me away from an academic life, which is what I was training to. was training to be a lecturer. I did my PhD at Cambridge. I was like on the track and it just didn't sit right with me. And I did my yoga training and I then worked with my teacher further in training in a form of Tibetan Buddhist meditation. It's like very kind of traditional lineage. And I also at the same time had two children who didn't sleep and wanted to be with me all the time. So I had this sort of like juxtaposition of trying to be myself, trying to find my work and living in what I call now messy real life. It really felt incredibly messy. And I looked at both of the, you know, sort of modalities that I was working with in terms of both trying to find work or create work that was meaningful and aligned with myself. That's kind of my journey in the sense that it was really about how to practice in real life, because none of us live in retreat centers, you know, and also sort of building my own business, which is something I never thought I'd do. You know, I don't have entrepreneurs in my family. This wasn't like something that was modeled for me. And realizing through that process that our work, especially for those of us who are working and creating heart-centered businesses ourselves, is the most important opportunity we have to grow spiritually. You know, it's part of our spiritual journey. And what is sort of the like real key thing that has come out of my experience over the past, you know, 10, 15 years is that spiritual practice, which is really the knowing of oneself beyond the thinking mind, is something that doesn't just happen on our yoga mats or meditation cushions or in a beautiful place. It also needs to be woven into our messy real life because that's where we live. So we have to know how to find alignment with ourselves where we actually are most of the time. And the lovely thing about it is even though these traditions don't model that very easily because meditation comes from a very monastic, retreat-centered kind of tradition. Before COVID, we looked at the workplace as something where you went away from the home to do, and you had a very like, you know, clear 9-to-5 timetable in which you devoted your time and energy into work. But what I found is actually working within the kind of textures of the mess with kids, with the house, with the stuff that comes up in life, and weaving our work and our spiritual practice into those things, finding ways where they're not in conflict, but rather can work with each other and weave together like threads in a cloth. This is not only possible, but it creates a really beautiful practice.
Wow, so beautifully said. I mean, no one can argue with the reality that building a business and being a mum are intensely spiritual experiences. Yeah. Because we have to work on our mindset and the way we show up in order to really excel or sometimes just survive in either of those settings. And yeah, as you know, both a business owner and a mum, I know that that balance and coming home to myself has been a quest that I've been on, certainly in business for the last couple of years. And I love how you say that it's not something that's on a mountaintop or in a retreat, because that would be so easy in comparison to actually becoming somebody that's living according to your values in that kind of quintessential spiritual essence in the messy reality of daily life. And my goodness, building a business and being a coach and doing all the things, it sure does get messy. It's like, so how do you bring some of this into the day to day rather than it just being a concept that we can all agree with, but yeah, still can't work out how to actually apply to our daily lives?
The thing that we take to be obstacles are actually opportunities. We hear this a lot, and putting it into what it actually means in our situation is the practice. And I think for me, building my own business, there's so much stepping out into the unknown, finding alignment with yourself, learning how to trust yourself, believing in yourself every day. You know, we have partners and friends and family, hopefully in our lives, you know, business besties that are going to cheerlead us. But my experience is that no one in our lives feels confident and believes in us every single day. You know, there are times when my partner has had wobbles about my business, and I've had to hold that kind of self-belief. There is nothing apart from motherhood that I can experience that I have been forced, kicking and screaming, to step out of my comfort zone and really do things that feel scary to me. So these are things that, like I say, feel like we're being forced into because we want to build this business, because we have goals. And actually, they are the opportunities for spiritual growth if we take them to be that, if we use them in that way. What I've seen for myself is there's this really beautiful alchemy that happens between the inner self and the outer world. You know, it sort of happens both ways, right? Like the outer world provides opportunities and challenges and things that impact us on the inside. They impact how we feel. They impact what stories we make up about ourselves and life. They determine what actions we feel okay to take. You know, there's a huge influence that's coming into us from what's happening outside. But there's also that opposite sort of process that's happening, or flow that's happening, where the things that are happening inside of us, the person that we're becoming, is influencing the outside world. And we're trying in our business to take the beautiful vision that we have inside of us and bring it out into reality, make it real, manifest it in real life. And so watching these two processes happen, I think, is where we need to start. And just honoring that is a spiritual journey. You know, we get ourselves into dark holes sometimes, don't we? Where we're just discouraged, we've lost clients, or things haven't worked out. We've tried to launch something and no one signed up, or we suddenly realize that, you know, the thing that we were pitching ourselves for isn't going to work out. Like so many things.
We can all relate to that.
And, you know, for me also, Jen, I can imagine this is most of us as well. There's times when we're scrolling on social media too much. And when you're an entrepreneur, you're getting fed a lot of stories about like 3 minutes to 3 million, you know, and you can feel like you're not doing things right. Things are not growing fast enough. And we've all, I'm sure, it's just part of the journey, gotten ourselves into dark holes where it's really hard to pull ourselves out. We're not in our best zone. Nothing is flowing. We're feeling really discouraged. And, you know, in one of these times for myself, I really had to, like, almost in order to survive, I had to redefine what success meant to me. And success in the outside world and in our culture is very masculine defined. It's often how much money you make. It's certainly about numbers, how many clients, how much money. You know, these are kind of the things that we measure success by. And I just had this, what I would call insight, like knowing. And, you know, sometimes you're sitting there and just a voice comes to you. I just realized the most important thing is who I am becoming. Mm-hmm. What is this work helping me to become? And this is why I left the academic world, because I was being trained to be a lecturer at university. And I was at Cambridge, and all of my people who I did my PhD with have gone on to work at all the universities, and they're doing their careers, like, you know, like they're on the path that they were supposed to be on. And I made a very conscious choice to not pursue that because I wasn't happy with the person that I had to be in order to exist in that world.
Now that makes perfect sense, because you and I have a similar arc with that. Although I wasn't in academia, I was in the corporate world nearly 20 years and just felt like my soul was being sucked dry every little piece by piece, because I didn't feel like I could be myself and I didn't feel that, like, the culture was supportive. And sometimes we just have to be in alignment and honor what our own path is, even if it goes against what we perceived would be the natural path that other people would expect of us and so on.
That's right. And I think, you know, there's a wisdom in understanding that we all have the potential to be unkind, to be judgmental, to be aggressive, to be competitive in not a good way, to be in scarcity mindset. We all have these potentials within us that if, you know, it's like the story of the wolf that we always hear, like, if you feed that, it will grow. And I saw things in myself, and I saw myself behaving in ways that I did not like. And I was like, if I stay in this place, I don't like the person that I think I'm going to have to become to exist. Because in competitive environments, if you're in a career in a competitive world, you have to be a certain way or you can't survive there. So it was, you know, I went back to that choice that I made in my mid-20s. And I thought, I need to redefine success for myself, not in terms of numbers, but maybe in terms of impact and the depth of impact, maybe not the numbers of impact, but the depth of impact that I'm having even on some the few people that I'm working with at this point. Most importantly, because, and we all know deep in our hearts, we're not taking any of this with us. There is going to come a point where we have lived our life and we are going to have to hold it lightly and then give it up. And the thing that abides, you know, as a meditation practitioner, this idea of impermanence in Buddhism and in yoga is really strong. It's like everything is impermanent. We watch nature change. We watch our lives change. We're not the same people that we were 10 years ago or 5 years ago. But the person that we are becoming, that is something that I believe we take with us. That is an energetic shift that happens over a long period of time in our life. And it's like our work is part of an opportunity for us to grow and become the person that we really want to be. And if that's happening, then you're succeeding. And if that's not happening, that's the sign to shift. And that's how I'm working these days.
Yeah. I mean, I heard, and I'm probably going to paraphrase this slightly wrong, but in business, as in life, our problems are often the gifts that we've asked for. It's like, you know, better quality of problems, different new problems, because we travel through our lives solving things and invite the next ones to come in, because that is the journey. The journey isn't the destination or the smoothness of the journey. It's actually overcoming things and growing as a result. And my goodness, like building a business certainly ticks that box. I don't think I had any appreciation when I first made the leap and said, you know what, I think I'll be a coach, that this literally meant that I would be doing my inner work as part of my business every single day. Like, how can I show up with more courage or more conviction? How can I be more visible without fearing judgment? How can I serve without self-doubt? And, you know, all these things are just the new way to now up-level and up-level for ourselves, but also for the benefit of those that will gain from our expertise and from working with us. So I love how you framed that. It's really sort of humbling thought, really, that our journey is something that is so important for us to understand the idiosyncrasies of it.
It's the most beautiful and creative project we'll ever have is the creation of our life, is the creation of who we are, you know? So there's nothing more important than that. Numbers are not as important as that, you know? But it's hard to remember that because the messaging that we're getting every day, and I lose track of this all the time, you know, and have to kind of do the things that I need to do to realign, because that's not the messaging that we're hearing. But we have to just keep listening to podcasts like this and people who remind us to come back in. You know, and the other thing that I know you talk about a lot on your podcast is the idea of like energy. And when I say the person you're becoming, you know, we think about the way that the outside world is giving us opportunities to grow and step into new levels of who we really are. But also as we change inside, and you talk about this a lot in your episodes, we attract the things that are resonant matches to who we are being, you know? And you know, there's that saying that we're hearing a lot now, if you're listening to any of these kinds of things, is you don't get what you earn or deserve, you get what you are. And so, you know, I've spent a lot of years now as as you do as a young, like, or, you know, early entrepreneurial years, like learning Facebook strategies or trying to figure out how to write better copy or build my website and then get my website built and, you know, all the mechanics. And actually, it's taken me a long time. And I've heard this message again and again. And, you know, when you hear something again and again, and then one day it lands. The person that you are becoming is the most important work you can do for your business, because you can't fake it. Like, you can't fake energetic frequency. And that's why people, no matter what your business is, that's why people are really coming to you. You know, people come to me to do yoga and they come to do meditation, but really that's all out there with lots of different people. You know, you could get information about meditation and yoga for free if you wanted. And all the things that we do are available by many, many people out there. Mm-hmm. But the thing that we have is our unique energetic frequency that we can embody and give out. The things that I'm learning from science now really match traditional meditation, what they've been saying for years in very traditional language, as well as the way that yoga tradition talks about energy. But what we're really doing every day in our life is walking around like instruments, tuning to the other people and situations in our life. And we feel this all the time. You walk and you like when you've had, you know, I always think of an easy example is like, we all have people in our lives where you have a conversation with them and afterwards you feel like you've been hit by a steamroller, you know, where you've been drained of all of your like energy and you need to go like lie down.
Yeah. Like emotional vampires.
This is it. We all have experienced that before. We've all experienced events that have absolutely inspired us so that when we are done with that, whether it's a talk or a fun party, when we walk out, we feel on top of the world. We feel like we could do anything and we totally believe it 100%. And what is happening in the mechanics of that, like how that actually works, is that there is an energetic tuning that happens depending on what you're around. There's a beautiful alchemy, like I said, between the inner and the outer, and that's happening and flowing all the time. And so you can't attract or work with clients. And now I'm echoing you, Joe, because I hear you saying this, but you can't attract and find, you know, clients that you want to work with until you match the energy that they need, the energy that they have, but the energy that they know that they need. So when they see you, they go, I need to be with this person because I feel good when I'm with them.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so much.
Is that your thing?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
When it comes to expressing your unique brilliance with authenticity, it's really about aligning with who you are and your authentic energy as much as anything. When you transmit that through your messaging and how you show up, that's when people can feel that magnetic pull. That's when they'll be attracted to work with you. And like you said, not many people are doing something that is completely unique. You know, people are coaching through specific modalities and techniques. As a business coach, I teach messaging and so on. There are people out there doing the same things from a technical point of view. But when it comes to resonance, that's where only you can reach your clients and help them transform, because they're receptive to your message because you're tuned into each other. That's, I might have a slightly different language around it to the way you've put it, but I believe it's absolutely the same kind of expression of energy that's happening there. I love that you've highlighted that, because business is energy, just like all the transactions are. And when you bring it, you know, and you're on a stage and you're unstoppable and powerful and full of conviction, people are magnetized by this. But when you show up with self-doubt and with the inner critic loud in your head, people are not going to convert. They're not going to come towards you, even if the words you're speaking are good.
My business absolutely proves that. When I put out things, or when I was in a place of self-doubt, my business did not grow, you know? And what we were talking about before we started recording about, you know, the summer and, you know, how I said, I don't work that hard anymore. So this is a new experiment for me. I'm experimenting with, do I really need to work a lot? And what is work? So I'll give you an example. And this is something that's happened recently for me and really transformed, like it sort of brought me to a new level. And I think it's useful as a story to tell because it gives people a specifics on the how. You know, when you're in that place of feeling uncertain, you cannot snap your fingers and make it better. And you cannot talk yourself out of it.
You know, the even worse thing, and it's something I've experienced myself and I see it in others, is that when you're into spirituality and you have an absolute belief in having a frequency and a vibration to match the reality that you want to create, and you're not seeing it, that's just another stick to beat yourself with. It's like, oh, I'm no good at business, and I'm obviously no good at energy either, and I'm rubbish at the spirituality thing. I must be like a failure or a bad person or a rubbish spiritualist or whatever that comes up in your head, because that's another thing that you're not now achieving. And so getting out that dip and finding the how to change that feeling is the first thing that comes before anything else. And I'm on the edge of my seat. I'd love to hear what your advice is on this.
So the story I wanted to tell is that I had this sort of download. You know, this, like I was saying earlier, you know, those moments where you just like, you're walking and you're not really thinking about something, and all of a sudden you just get this little gift of like a insight, like, oh.
Yeah, we used to call it a good idea out of nowhere. But now, of course, it's insight and so on. Yeah.
It's the good idea out of nowhere. It's the insight. It's the seeing in a different way, or realizing something that you actually didn't realize before. And you didn't think yourself there. It just came whole, like someone handed it to you.
I mean, now, we define it, whether you believe spirit comes from inside or outside, it's a gift from spirit. You know, it's literally like the universe. You've opened your portal and this is what's dropped in because it's meant for you. This is the breadcrumb that will take you in the direction of all your dreams, desires that are in your vortex.
That's it. So I got this sort of download that was basically like, I have had a lot of women in my life who are incredible at holding sacred fires, spaces, women's circles, ritual, sweat lodge. You know, I've seen a lot of this stuff, and I have seen women who are incredibly, and men as well, but really women who have really have that like magic and ability to bring you to a new place. And I've always sort of, you know, Joe, I grew up in a family that was basically very sensible. It wasn't a good thing to take yourself too seriously, you know, and I love, it's important for me to be relatable to people. I don't take myself very seriously, but there was a download that I got that was just like, it's time for you to step into that space, which is really a stepping into sovereignty, which is really stepping into a full responsibility for our life and our individual growth, whether we think of it as a spiritual growth or self-development or whatever it is. And it's like a permission that we've been waiting for, but only we can give ourselves to just step into the position of sovereignty in our life, to know that we know what we know, you know, you know. And hopefully that made sense. So I needed to kind of absorb this. And I've learned enough now to know that a lot of my work in my business is to do the inner work. And so I sort of realized, and this was also kind of a gift, that we don't really have anything on over the weekend. My husband didn't have anything going on. The kids didn't have anything going on. So I was like, I'm going to take our camper van and leave by myself. So hold down the fort, have fun, have a daddy's weekend. I'll see you later. And I got in my camper van, and luckily I live in Scotland. We've moved up here last year, and it's very close to wildness. And so it was possible for me within 45 minutes to be in a place that was like a wild campsite on a loch. And, you know, I don't think I would have had the confidence in years past to do that, to actually, you know, I would have wanted to do it, but I wouldn't have actually done it. You know, I wouldn't have actually taken that seriously enough, but I went, and I've seen a lot of women, a lot of my friends lighting their own sacred fires and sitting with them and tending the fire. And, you know, there's over the years, I've heard a lot of discussion about this. I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm just go light a fire, sit by the log by myself and just see what happens. And so I'm there, you know, I wrote an article about this. I'll send you the link if anyone wants to read a bit more, but, you know, there's this sort of fire circle with stones on this stony little tiny like bit by the lake. And I lit my fire, and it all feels, when you were doing it, this is what I want to communicate. When you were doing the thing, it feels really normal. It does not feel sacred. It does not feel special. You're like, am I doing this right? This feels like it should feel like there's fireworks or magic something, but it doesn't. I'm just worried that I didn't bring enough kindling and this fire is going to go out and I can't relight it. And then like, what, like, then I failed at my sacred fire. And, you know, I'm sort of laughing. And I got the fire lit and I sat there and I sort of was waiting for something to happen. And I think this is important also to say, because I think this is what we're doing with meditation. We sit down and we're like, okay, I'm ready. Here I am. I've gotten myself here. I'm ready for something magical to happen.
Well, this is it, because meditation, particularly if you've got an active mind, and a lot of people in my world are high achieving women, ex-professionals. We've just got like this, in fact, having a busy, active mind has often been a strength, and we've grown to appreciate how fast and good our minds are. And so suddenly now we want to start to meditate, and it can feel excruciating.
Yes.
You know, I've got to a point where I certainly advocate doing even a short amount of meditation, because that's been my reality. It's like, look, if I can sometimes sit down for 7 minutes, I think that I've had a really good run at it, but I don't always necessarily reach the state of complete lack of thoughts that some people suggest you're supposed to. So I know that you're all about interweaving practices into messy reality. What would you suggest?
Well, so basically, this is me 15 years on in my practice. And the most of my practice has been tiny sessions, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, while I'm walking, while I'm standing in the kitchen. So my meditation membership and the way that I work with other women who, you know, want to bring a kind of consistent meditation practice into their life, with someone who can relate to messy real life rather than a teacher who doesn't have kids. And, you know, that was my issue. 5 minutes, 3 minutes, one breath. We can train on the go. Your mind is the thing that's being trained. Your mind is always with you. It doesn't care if you're sitting on a meditation cushion, do you know? So we have to learn the method of how to train no matter where we are. And then time doesn't become a problem. Like having enough time. So
how do you meditate for 1 minute?
What we're doing, I'll say this, and then I'll say the rest of the story about the lock, because I think it's important to know where we're going and what's possible for all of us. But, you know, my kids never slept, Joe. Like years and years and years, I would finally drag myself out of the bed in the morning and sit down, and I'd just drop in 2 minutes in and mommy, way earlier than they were supposed to wake up. Like it was inevitable, you know, they have like Jedis. And so my experience of sitting is an interrupted one. You know, it's not a place where I've had loads and loads of time. And what's important for us all to know is that you can practice in little drops and it still works. So people talk about the breath. All that you need to do is think about trying to connect with the present moment. That's it. It's not complicated, but it's not what we're used to doing. So it takes our minds a long time to learn the skill of just being where you are and feeling the aliveness of the present moment. And that can be for a split second. You can drop into that. And it's a little bit like I give, this is an analogy that I heard one time. I hope it's helpful for others. It's like, you know, when you've been in a cinema and it's dark and you're totally absorbed in the movie, you forgot where you were. You've like forgot about your body. You forgot you were in the cinema. You were in the story. And then all of a sudden you pop out and you realize where you are. And if you've ever looked around and just looked within the dark theater to the people that you're with, maybe watch their reactions for a moment, or just you have that realization like, oh, I'm not in the story. I'm in the dark cinema with everybody else. And you have that moment. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to come out of the outside drama and just become aware of ourselves. Just drop in for a moment and become aware of yourself. Like, oh, I'm here. Here I am. Our attention is always pulled outside of us. We're having out-of-body experiences all day long. And just dropping in for little bits, little drops each day where we notice ourselves again and we just notice a breath. This over time, you know, and James Clear's a beautiful one for talking about how impactful small habits over time can be. You know, I think a lot of people have read Atomic Habits, but we can underestimate these small things. They're very hard to do because our mind wants to stay busy and entertained, and it doesn't want to be trained, just like a puppy doesn't want to be trained. But we need to be the adults and sovereigns in our life and know better, you know, wow. Know that yeah. this is what we're going to do. So when I was sitting by that, and this is sort of an important piece for what happens in your mind when you sit, whether that's for a minute in the kitchen when you're just making your cup of tea, or whether that's you've actually made it to a meditation cushion and you're going to sit for 10 minutes. So I sat by that log, and, you know, I'm very used to working with my mind now, but I still noticed I'm going outside. I'm trying to make things mean things. I'm looking for the magic. And at some point I realized my mind's doing that. We're still looking like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And what I did, and what everyone can do when they sit, is you're just waiting. The insight comes to you. You don't find it. All your job is to sit and stay present. And if you think about have you ever seen a river or like a little stream? And imagine that there's like a little chute that goes into a tiny waterfall, you know? So there's that little bit of water that's flowing down, and then a little part of it is coming through a bit of rock, maybe through maybe two rocks and trickling down. If you imagine that there's a leaf floating downriver and it gets to that kind of swirling eddy, it takes time sometimes. Sometimes that leaf won't immediately go down the chute. It sort of hovers in that water for a little while. Maybe it gets stuck a little bit in a bit of the water that's not moving or isn't moving very fast. And it goes in circles a bit, but eventually it will get swept down that little chute. And I think that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to stay present and hover in that place until we're taken down the chute. If we do the method, we'll eventually feel that being pulled into presence. And we don't have to do anything. We just have to be willing to stay and wait it out, wait out the busy mind, wait out the impatience and restlessness of the body to want to get up and go do stuff. We have to realize that these things are not that painful. You know, we're not getting cut and tortured. We're just a bit restless. It's okay. We can deal with it. This is just how the body has been trained to be. And if you sit there and you sit there a little bit, or you practice a little bit in your kitchen while you have your first two sips of coffee, or whether you practice not being on your phone and listening to something while you walk to pick up the kids at school, or just go on a walk with your dog, these little drops over time train your mind. One day, your leaf that's been hovering in presence is going to go down, and the experience of presence and your own awareness will come to you. So that's what I want to say to people.
Wow. I love that imagery of the leaf as well. It's making me feel really calm. It's just lovely. And if people want to experience a little bit of this week, I love to invite some inspired action that's come from the topic. Could you share with us, Sarah, just something that is an easy way to start taking that first step?
The easiest and most important thing that we need to do is let go of what we think it needs to look like and where we need to be and what conditions it needs to happen in. Meditation does not have to happen in silence. It does not have to happen on your own. It does not have to happen in a quiet room on a meditation cushion. It can happen in a kitchen while other people are behind you doing what they're doing. The point is, you're training for real life. So can you learn to drop into yourself for a moment and just see yourself, see your own presence, connect to that present moment and abide there just for a couple of breaths? And so I suppose maybe everyone this week could do that. Everyone drinks tea or coffee in the morning, surely. So this is a perfect time to practice. Mm-hmm. You know, my business that I founded is called Messy Luminous Being. So there's a luminosity that we all have, and we live in messy real life, and that's where we practice. So if everyone wanted to really try this week or in the next week to take their first 3 sips of coffee without or tea, without rush, and just be with themselves, you know, without thinking, try to connect with the present moment, you know, and just feel your breath and then get on with your day. But if you do that every day, something will change.
I love that. So, so achievable. It's just taking something that feels so massive, the idea of meditation for half an hour or an hour, and just brings it down to something that all of us can do simply and easily and regularly to start making changes in our lives. So thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much for everything that you've shared today. It's been an absolute pleasure. And if people want to find out a little bit more about what you teach, where can we find you online?
So my podcast is called Messy Luminous Being. People can come hear our conversation there, which was so fun. And it's in all the podcasty places. And I'm on Instagram at Sarah B. Hunt. So if anyone's listening and wants to get in touch, I love, 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 love hearing from people. And my website is sarahbhunt.com. And that's where I have a yoga membership and I also have a meditation membership. The meditation membership is really low cost, but it's really there for people who want to set up a meditation practice and it's just hard to stay consistent. So you need motivation, you need that swoop picking you back up every time you kind of drop out of the routine or whatever, and just remind you every month of what you know you want to do for yourself anyway. But yeah, come hang out there. That's where I am.
Okay. And those links will all be in the show notes. So if anybody wants to say hi to Sarah, please drop in there and click. And so just to say thank you again, and as always, have an inspired action week, everyone. My thanks to Sarah again for sharing so much value and so many great ideas in this episode. And if you're looking to elevate your client attraction so you can work with your most soul-aligned clients, right now I am looking for 3 established visionary coaches who want to be personally mentored by me to dial in your most authentic brand messaging, most aligned marketing strategies, and yes, elevate too with the business energetics that create deep alignment with those clients that you most want to work with. If that sounds like you, get in touch over on Instagram at iamjo.ingram with the word aligned, and I'll share the details. And so have an inspired action week. Take care. Bye now.